Not even his real mother trying to claim that Justinian was a nice man. Theodora again, hissing. And don't call the Empire Strategos daddy. It's not dignified even if he is your stepfather. The Emperor hunched down on his throne, thoroughly miserable. It's too confusing. Nobody should have this many mummies and daddies. He began to turn his head, hoping to catch a reassuring glimpse of his real parents. He knew they would be standing nearby, among the other high notables of the Roman court. But the Emperor's regent hissed him still. Stop fidgeting, it's not regal. The Emperor made himself sit motionless. He grew more and more nervous watching the stately advance of the Persian ambassador down the long aisle leading to the throne. The Persian ambassador, he saw, was staring at him. Everybody was staring at him. The throne room was packed with Roman officials, every one of whom had their eyes fixed on the Emperor. Most of them, he thought, were not very nice, judging at least from sarcastic remarks he had heard his parents make. All four of his parents. The scurrilous nature of officialdom was one of the few subjects they didn't quarrel about. The ambassador was now much closer. He was rather tall and slender of build. His complexion was perhaps a bit darker than that of most Greeks. His face was lean-jawed and aquiline, dominated by a large nose. His beard was cut in the short, square style favored by Persians. The ambassador was wearing the costume of a Persian nobleman. His gray hair was capped by the traditional gold-embroidered headdress, which Persians called a kittaris. His tunic, though much like a Roman one, had sleeves which reached all the way down to the wrists. His trousers also reached far down, almost covering the red leather of his boots. Seeing the bright color of the ambassador's boot tips, the emperor felt a momentary pang. His old father, his real father, had a pair of boots just like those. Parthian boots, they were called. His father favored them, as did many of his Thracian cataphracts. The ambassador was now close enough that the emperor could make out his eyes. Brown eyes, just like his father's. His old father, his new father, had no eyes. But the emperor could detect none of the warmth which was always in his old father's eyes. The Persian's eyes seemed cold to him. The emperor lifted his gaze. High above, the huge mosaic figures on the walls of the throne room stared down upon him. They were saints, he knew, very holy folk, but their eyes too seemed cold. Darkly, the emperor suspected they probably hadn't been very nice either. The severe expressions on their faces reminded him of his tutors, sour old men whose only pleasure in life was finding fault with their charge. He felt as if he were being buried alive. I'm hot, he complained. Of course you're hot, whispered Theodora. You're wearing imperial robes on a warm day in April. What do you expect? Unkindly. Get used to it. Then, now act properly. The ambassador is here. 20 feet away, the Persian ambassador's retinue came to a halt. The ambassador stepped forward 2 paces and prostrated himself on the thick, luxurious rug which had been placed for that purpose on the tiled floor of the throne room. That rug, the emperor knew, was only brought out from its special storage place for the use of envoys representing the Persian king of kings, the Shahanshah. It was the best rug the Roman Empire owned, he had heard. Persia was the traditional great rival of the Roman Empire. It wouldn't do to offend its representatives. No, it wouldn't do at all. The Persian ambassador was rising. Now he was stepping forward. The ambassador extended his hand, holding the scroll which proclaimed his status to the Roman court. The motion brought a slight wince to the face of the ambassador, and the Roman emperor's fear multiplied. The wince, he knew, was caused by the great wound which the ambassador had received to his shoulder 3 years before. The emperor's real father had given him that wound at a famous place called Minduus. He's going to be mean to me. I bring greetings to the Basileus of Rome from my master Khusru Anushirvan, king of kings of Iran and non-Iran. The ambassador spoke loudly so everyone in the huge throne room could hear. His voice was very deep. As deep as anyone's the emperor had ever heard except church singers. My name is Barismenus, continued the ambassador. Barismenus of the Seren. The emperor heard a whispering rustle sweep the throne room. He understood the meaning of that rustle and felt a moment's pride in his understanding. For weeks now,